My name is Jim Phillips. About 40 years ago, I was a spiritual leader among the Indian people. I had a great burden on my heart to be able to reach my people, to bring them out of drugs and anguish of depression and things that had been brought upon them by the loss of their country and their tribes and their identity. I saw my own family. I am Native American. I saw my own family devastated with alcoholism and drugs, gambling and loose living. And I wanted somehow to reach my people, to bring them back to a foundation that they had so many years ago in pre-white contact. American Indian people were an unusual species of human being. They lived like God told mankind to live in the beginning. I'm talking about the North American Indian. They did not live in big villages, cities. They were nomadic or semi-nomadic in life. They did have great farms, great industry. They were not a lazy people. But their culture and their land was taken away from them, their way of life. I know this from my own experience in my family. In the Indian Removal Act, moved all the Indians from the north and southeast, from the Middle West, even into what was known as Indian Territory, no man's land. Didn't think it was worth anything. Well, after 1905, that was taken away from them. In 1865, after the Civil War, half of Indian Territory was taken. My family were homeless again in 1905. They came to California to be mistaken for white Okies. And so whatever they had, they could keep it if they worked for it. But many of the Indians in the tribal areas, wherever they are, lived on commodities, lived on handouts. Instead of being men, they became children. I wrote a series of essays that have been used in spiritual schools and ghettos, prisons, and even schools run by Indians to teach the Indians how to be real Indians again, to have the mindset of enough pride to hold our heads up and say we are a people, as they once did. They are the inventors and the originators of corn. They had great farms. Many lived and hunted and farmed also. The old story that they were going to teach the Indians to learn how to farm and become useful citizens. The Indians had to teach white man how to farm. The white man would have starved to death if it hadn't been for potatoes, corn. Corn, potatoes. Think about that. What life would be without corn and potatoes? How about tomatoes? What would Italy be without tomatoes? These are some of the things, peanuts, yams. These are American Indian inventions. They were good farmers. The Indians lived in a socialist democracy, the purest form of democracy you can ever think. When the white man came to this country, they tried to pick out certain leaders in a tribe so they could sign for everybody, like they had princes and kings, and they called Indians princes and kings and prince so-and-so and king so-and-so and princess so-and-so, etc., etc., because they wanted one man to sign for the whole tribe. Well, a democracy doesn't work that way. One man does not speak for a whole people. But that's what they wanted. That's what they were used to from Europe. And so they wanted, that's what they wanted among the people, but it was not. The treaties were not even valid treaties because of this. The Black Hills is not treated for even today. Now I'm going to go to this little essay that I wrote on the chiefs, or leaders of the people. Give you a little background there. The chiefs or leaders of the people, as they were known among the Indian people, were not like the white man or the white governors looked upon them at all. The leaders among the Native American people were leaders because they were great men. The spiritual leaders and war leaders were leaders only if they were great men and continued to be great men to that point of time. The spiritual leader was a person who was very religious and spent much of his time praying and seeking the will of Wonkantaka, or God. Wonkantaka is God the Father. In white man's language, Takashila is God the Son, and Skantaku, Skanskan, is God the Holy Spirit. If this spiritual leader was found to be someone just looking to become more wealthy by his powers or having his own interests at heart, he would quickly be replaced or ignored by the people. The same thing happened with war leaders. If the war leader did not have the interest of the whole tribe at heart, or if he wanted to go to war simply because he wanted to be known as a valiant warrior instead of having the interest of the tribe, he would no longer have the privilege of being a war leader. Some people like to fight. Some people like to get awards, coups. If that's the kind of person he was, he would not have followers long. The war leader was to lead the tribe or the people of the war of the tribe into a war to protect themselves from surrounding tribes or travelers. This war was not to be his own personal vendetta for any reason. If he would make insults to other tribes or people to expand his own renown, he would no longer be a war leader of that people. The Native American people did not want to kill the other person. They did not want to kill somebody in an opposing tribe. In a story before this, I talked about Staked Out, where a war leader would go into a tribe, and one man would fight a war with a tribe. One man. He would take the place of all of his warriors, and he would fight the greatest warriors in that tribe to settle the debt or the misuse or the abuse. And it was settled for all people. If he died, he died there. If he lived, the war was avoided with all the people. All the other lives were saved. Wouldn't it be nice if leaders of countries had to go out hand-in-hand combat? They wouldn't be declaring war quite so often. That was to save lives, that being staked out was. That saved lives. People did not want to kill another person. You killed another person, then that was blood. Then blood had to be shed. You might go and insult somebody. You might go slap somebody. You might go steal his moccasins, slip into his teepee when he was asleep at night, get his moccasins, take off. That was a great insult, and you counted coup on the man. You touched the man while he was alive. That was coup. That's the bravest act. Not killing the man, touching him. Back to this essay again. The American government and the early settlers of this country who came from Europe, wanted to be able to make treaties with different tribes of the Native Americans. They wanted to be able to deal with one person or a representative from each tribe so that the person could sign a treaty with the governments that they represented. Of course, the Native Americans did not understand having a chief over them. A chief was only over them during war. Each tribe was a complete democracy, with each person in the tribe a voting member, whether to make war or to where to hunt or where to move, the locations of the village. What they did was a democratic policy of very small sovereign nations. Each tribe was a sovereign nation. Europeans cannot understand this concept. When so-called chiefs began signing treaties for whole tribes, the people, the Native Americans, did not understand why people would try so hard to cheat or swindle another government or a tribe or people. When a treaty was made by a specific tribe, all the leaders in that tribe sat in the council, and they would have a ceremony in which a pipe would be handed around to each person who would smoke and witness the smoke as they spoke the words. This treaty would be a witness against them if they did not keep their word or promise. The Native Americans believe that if God was called in to witness in a treaty, and that's what the pipe was about, when they put the pipe together, it's calling God to the altar. And God was going to sign the treaty between man. And no matter how many people live, die, generations of them, God is still there to enforce that treaty. God called into witness in a treaty that no one spoke the words after smoking the pipe and seeing the words come out of their mouth would ever go back on their own words, because they would become a no person, a no people with no God. After breaking many of these treaties, the American Indian people, the Native American people, thought that the white people, the white Anglo-Saxon people that came from Europe, were some sort of animals without a soul. An Indian could not believe that a man would call upon God to be witness to a treaty and then break it while God was still looking on. And God doesn't die. Men come and go, but God is there, and that treaty is still in force. To sum up this whole argument about the chiefs being leaders among the Native American people, there was no such thing as a permanent appointed chief among Native American people. A man was only chief as long as he represented all the people during a specific confrontation, conflict, or treaty. Many stories have been told in the past about Indian princesses, such as my grandmother was an Indian princess. The whole idea of this is irrational among Indian people. There were no princes when Europeans came to this country, especially when Great Britain came to this country and tried to appoint a prince over this democratic bodies of people. This was contrary to the complete beliefs and the practices among the Native American people that they came into contact with on this continent. The Black Hills Treaty among the Lakota people is another example of a misunderstanding between Native American people and those in the government that was founded here. The United States government has set aside millions of dollars to buy the Black Hills from the Lakota people. Look, the Lakota people have told the government to keep their money because they do not intend ever to sell the Black Hills to the United States government. United States government said when your chief signed the treaty, the deal was made. But the Lakota people say, no, we are a democracy. America says they are a democracy. America is a republic. Native American tribes are democracies. We are a democracy, not people governed by chiefs. I hope in the writing of these stories, the great gulf of misunderstanding between the Native American people and the white culture is narrowed some. And our old people's side of the story is understood more fully. For over 500 years, the words of our people have fallen on deaf ears. When two entities understand each other and each other's backgrounds, they can get along a lot better. The American government wants to make Indians white people. Indians will never be white people. Any group, any religion of people can come into America and they expect certain rights. And it's given to them. American Indian people that owned this country, it wasn't white man's, it wasn't Spain's, it wasn't France's, it wasn't Russia's. Wasn't Great Britain's. It was the Native American people's land. They come and put a flag in the ground and say, it's ours. They didn't ask the inhabitants, the possessors of the land that God gave the land to. God gave this land to these people. They should be respected. The treaty should be honored. We can't turn back 500 years of history. But if two people understand each other more and more thoroughly, I think people can understand treaties and what treaties really are. What a volitational right that each man should have. I remember the Constitution, we the people. We the people is a Native American term. It is not European. In European, it was said, we the prince, we the king, we the queen. But here they borrowed a term from the Iroquois Confederation of Faith and says, we the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, a more perfect government, a more perfect republic. These Indians now are part of that republic. And those little entities of those tribes should be respected. And the tribes should respect the country. There has to be an agreement between them. A solid agreement founded on truth. Truth. When American Indian smoked the pipe, when he got through, he says truth. All treaties should be truth, not lies, not manipulations. These things the grandfathers have told us and handed down to us. Wakantonkas Kisiun. May God richly bless you with these words, help you understand the people of this land better. And may our people learn to be Indians again and have a pride in what they are and not live in the gutters of society. Shukamiyata Tonka.